Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with Danielle Hopkins, the new director for the Franklin Senior Center, and Christina LaRose, the new deputy director. We talked about their first couple of weeks in their new roles at the Senior Center. You'll hear how each of them came into this role, and from their backgrounds, how well they are fitting together. There's still much learning and listening underway, with good ideas for reopening the cafe, and then adjusting expanding programs to meet the needs of the community. The recording runs about 18 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Danielle and Christina. All right, Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin area dial at 102.9, here in the Senior Center for a special recording session with the new
Senior Center Director, Danielle Hopkins.
Welcome to this.
Thank you so much. We're pleased to be here.
And the Deputy Director,
Christina LaRose.
Yes, thank you so much. Very happy to be here.
So you've been here 3 weeks or so since you started at the beginning of January. You're still kind of getting your feet wet, figuring out how things are going.
Yeah, we both started on the same day, January 10th.
Yes.
So we're in our third week, right in the middle of it, you know, knees deep, if you want to say.
not totally overwhelmed. You're still
totally
coming back.
Not totally overwhelmed.
So.
We've got a lot of support from the town, from Jamie, from Karen Bratt, you know, from our team here at the Senior Center, who have been just phenomenal. And each of the department heads, too, reaching out. We've gone and toured different facilities like the beautiful library or the rec department.
Yes.
The police are coming up. We're going over there on Friday. Mm-hmm. So just getting to know the town, getting to know the players. And even just the seniors here have been so welcoming and so, you know, coming up to our door and, you know, they let me learn how to play hand and foot yesterday. So teaching me some new stuff, too.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're at certainly the one key piece that I know, the cafeteria certainly is closed at for a period of time as you're doing a new hiring, et cetera. And then that'll be one key piece that once it comes back between the breakfast and lunch, I'm sure the volume of people visiting will hopefully increase again.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Right now, they look for the director of the kitchen, the manager, kitchen manager, is ongoing. We have lots of applications, lots
Excellent.
Of really good applications.
Good.
And we're gonna start that interview process next week. We're hoping to do that in the next couple weeks, you know, offer the job, and so by hopefully end of February, probably looking at beginning of March, you know, if they have to give their notice to reopen it. In the meantime, we did talk with the fireman, Doug Perro, who we're trying to figure out if they can come in maybe once or twice a week to serve breakfast throughout the month of February.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of a soft opening there.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a pull-in, an
it
important
is.
Part of the senior center. So, you know, we don't want to overwhelm anyone. You know, first we want to make sure it's ready to do this grand reopening, but we're excited for it to reopen.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited to see the people come in or the smell of pancakes in the morning. Pancakes or bacon, it could be a good or bad thing,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, as opposed to coffee, some people
would coffee
rather
doesn't
have the
do
tea,
it for me.
Cetera,
so, but yeah, you know, that's definitely we're getting a lot of questions. You know, when's it going to be open? You know, we're definitely going to be looking for people to help us in there, and we're excited for it to be
Absolutely.
Open. I know it's something that people wanted to be open now, but honestly, it probably happened at a good time with the COVID numbers and the rise, you know, just giving some social distancing where it needs to be.
Sure.
If, you know, keep people safe.
Yep. Yeah. And while we kind of jumped into at least some of the hot topics, let's step back a little bit.
Sure.
Since both of you were new here, you spent some time elsewhere.
Right.
And so why don't you tell us a little bit about your story, how you got here, you know, in your words briefly, et cetera, and then
sure.
people will at least know. And then in something you mentioned, there's a line that I've heard a good internet buddy of mine said, you're only a stranger once. Because once you hear what's going on and once you start talking, it's like, oh, you did that. Oh, I did that. Oh, you did that. So that some background will at least spark something for, and then as they start coming through, people will have the conversation and you'll have the conversation and go forward with that.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm Danielle. I actually, when I say I grew up in Franklin, I moved here middle of sixth grade and, you know, graduated from Franklin High Went to school. I graduated with a bachelor's with a music therapy degree. So I have, I'm a certified music therapist. I started off. I did my internship at a children's home down in Pennsylvania. Worked with teenagers and kids, you know, doing music therapy with them that, you know, kind of troubled teens. And then when I came back up here, worked in hospice, worked at a assisted living in Franklin, did their, you know, programming there, was the director of their programming. And then worked for a private music therapy company working with adults and kids with disabilities, as well as Alzheimer's, like went into nursing homes and assisted livings.
Yeah.
And then the past few years, I've been the director of the Alzheimer's unit over at Atria Draper Place in Hopedale, which was just wonderful. It's kind of my niche. I love working with the, you know, the older populations, but specifically Alzheimer's. So. And then just kind of this opportunity came up and I said, wow, it's in the town that I grew up in. Sounds like I can still work with the population that I love, but to be able to do more for the community and see what else is out there and kind of that next step. And I'm excited that I took it and I'm excited that they offered the job to me. And even more so that I'm not doing it alone, but Christine and I have really worked well together these past 3 weeks. So.
Yeah, and from what I understand, you've got some quote government experience, local government experience, so that's meshing nicely.
Correct. And that's been a great addition. So I'm Christina. I came to the Franklin Senior Center with experience through the Foxborough Council on Aging and Human Services. I was a full-time social worker there, also coordinating our transportation services for the town. So I was there for about 4.5 years, just honing my skills and learning about municipal government. That was my first municipal job, getting my feet wet there. And sort of while I was there, I was also juggling a few other roles. I found a part-time opportunity at the Medfield Senior Center and helped get their Saturday program up and off the ground as a co-program person for their Saturdays, and I had been doing that for about 3 years with a pause in between with the pandemic, and that was just a great learning experience to get me away from the social work aspect, but to learn the programming aspect, how the center runs on a day-to-day. We, in that Saturday program, we were providing lunch, we were providing transportation, so it really gave me a broad view of things at the center, but also I was working part-time for a previous employer, HESCO Elder Services. They, during the pandemic, were having some challenges getting to some home visits and with staffing, needs were there. So they had kind of reached out saying they were looking for a per diem person to do their protective service work. And I had been a protective service worker for them for about 3 years, which is just investigating elder abuse, neglect, financial exploitation, self-neglect. So I had been, you know, kind of adding that to my repertoire of things. Yeah. So coming here, I saw this job opportunity, kind of come up on my radar. And it was actually my director at the Foxborough Senior Center who kind of brought it to my attention. He kind of saw my vision as wanting to do more within the senior center, have a bigger role. And so he kind of also kind of suggested that I kind of go after this, and he was very supportive. They've been very supportive. So this opportunity came up, and it was just, it's been a blessing that way, where I can condense all this knowledge, but also condense my time into one focused position.
Right.
So I'm happy to say I'm no longer employed at several agencies. I'm just here focusing all of my time and efforts. And it's just been great, and everybody's been very welcoming.
Oh, good. And I think between the two, you've mentioned a couple of buttons, pushed some buttons that triggered my ears, because in the time that I've been spending here and talking with prior directors and talking with the other seniors, et cetera, transportation and GATRA and their change of service. That's an opportunity to continue to reinforce the expansion to the weekend potentially at some point. Maybe Franklin can do that. That's an opportunity.
Absolutely. We're not saying no to anything right now.
And
I'm
going
to be honest.
Thing.
We're looking at the whole picture. We're in observation mode. We're looking at the whole picture, talking with the team, talking with the seniors, trying to figure out what our community actually needs.
Yeah.
Weekends, evening programs, transportation needs. all that stuff.
Yeah, understanding what the community needs and then developing it appropriately so that you can meet the needs with within the Franklin budget, which we all know is relatively tight, but this is a priority piece, so we need to find time for it. The other piece, too, and it's been a relatively recent here, but it plays within your background, is in terms of the veterans' guitar lessons, playing right within your music background. And from my exposure, I had a father-in-law who Parkinson's, and as he started, you know, developing, et cetera, he could have trouble with some conversations, but turn on Frank Sinatra or a big band. He was right there. He knew all the words.
Yeah.
Right.
It's amazing how we're wired that way.
Yeah. It is.
Absolutely. I mean, I think music is a non-threatening way of finding different memories that, you know, bring to you, whether it be happiness, sadness, anything.
Yep.
You know, if I personally am upset or I'm personally just needing to focus, I put on a certain type of music.
Sure.
And as music therapy, yes, you can sit there and play CDs, but it's also able to catch, you know, live music as well. And using different terms, there's a lot of complications to it, but just matching the need where it needs to be. And especially with the older generation, sometimes, you know, Alzheimer's specifically, they may not be able to remember who you are, but you start playing Amazing Grace, You're My Sunshine, Let Me Call You Sweetheart, Frank Sinatra, they start singing all the words and you kind of go, oh my God.
<That's amazing.
laughs>
It's a different part of the brain, you know, of the talking versus the singing, the music part, that left versus right. And it's fascinating, but you get someone that's able to pull some of that stuff out, you know. It's there's some beautiful moments, but there's also some like tear-wrenching, heartbreaking moments that you're like, I'm glad I was able to be there, but you know, some of these diseases in the world are just awful.
They are, you know, straight
up.
Yeah, we need to manage them and get by and get through, et cetera. And I, offhand, certainly the veterans with the music, with the guitars, and then I believe it's also music with the Sunshine or the daycare.
We have the Tune It Out program. I think it's called Tune It Out.
Tuesday
nights, and it's for the veterans. Shannon and Deborah in the veterans offices are phenomenal. Jamie Barrett, and I think they have four instructors now that are doing it every Tuesday.
Was growing.
Yep, there's four instructors. We were introduced to them last week, and it, like the multi-purpose room was filled. All learning different songs and music and different abilities, which was wonderful. Needs more ladies. We saw a lot of men in there. But it was just really nice to see what a wonderful program that they started, and that's continuing to grow. And then also our Sunshine Club, our Sunshine Club Supportive Day Program has the Memory Cafes
once
a month.
Right.
That was last week.
Last Wednesday.
And they usually get entertainment for that, because what a way to get people together is food and music, right?
Food and music. Yes, more of that to come. And on the transportation side, in addition to just communications around Gatcher and its availability, I think in prior, in the maybe on the, you know, how to use the app, because that not every senior has a smartphone or would know how to use the app. So working through those, how do we reach that? How do we use that service? That would be an opportunity, I would
think. And I think, you know, Danielle and I are both looking to, you know, host programs ourselves here. It's certainly something I feel very comfortable talking about and helping people with. The town of Foxborough was a Gatra service area as well, so I'm very familiar with the inner workings of Gatra. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of changes coming over the next few years with them. There's a lot of federal funding coming down through the Build Back Better Act. You know, there's a lot of other grant monies out there for infrastructure and transportation that are going to be coming down. They have made a lot of changes. They're no longer doing the Dial-A-Ride program. It is all an on-demand service, essentially like an Uber or Lyft style. It is great, though, where they are smart. They're keeping their dispatch open to calls. So, you know, not everybody does need to use the app, but I think getting that to be accessible for people, having them understand how to use it, it will definitely be a large help. I think I'm going to be kind of, you know, keeping an eye on things with Gatra, seeing what's coming up. They're having some open board meetings. There's some changes internally with their structure. So I think I'm going to be keeping an eye on what's happening in terms of that and trying to keep everyone abreast of that knowledge here and up to date with the new changes and just advocating to them for our community and our needs. I've already been in touch with Joanna Gatra, Chris at the Dispatch, and just letting them know what our needs are. You know, they had run into some issues with some of their vans recently, and just trying to keep the lines of communication open. I think that's a big important thing, and you know, to keep our services going too.
And letting the seniors know that they can use this GATRA system with, like, the town has figured out a system so that they pay for these seniors. So if they have to come to the senior center, a doctor's appointment in the area, grocery shopping, that's available to them.
Yes.
And, you know, make sure that that's advocated too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think if I heard correctly through some of the other grants, et cetera, there's funding specifically for the Franklin seniors. So coming here from a home in Franklin to here is free.
That's correct.
And then I think it's a dollar or a nominal charge within, so to the doctor's appointment, to a store, et cetera, within Franklin. It's a nominal charge.
Yeah, I'm not sure the specific details. I don't know. I think they're looking at me. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So that'll be something we'll add to the future communication list.
We've gotten a lot of information in the past 3 weeks, and it's trying to organize it all. I think just looking, you know, towards the future, we've been in observation mode, and we've seen so many good things. The Karen Alves and Aaron Rogers and the Franklin Senior Center team and the Franklin Town have built. And so we're just looking to see what else is out there, what the needs are. We're going to be looking to, you know, obviously COVID safe, getting together with the community, getting together with the seniors, probably early spring, just to see, you know, it's like a community needs assessment, sending out surveys, making up a survey. Yeah. Both on the technology side, you know, emailing, but also in paper, you know, reaching out to the different, you know, partnerships in the town, just to see what is out there, what more programming we can bring and make this place as vibrant as it could be. You know, we have lots of space, re-envisioning the space. You know, we're still going to have that bingo, but we're also going to look to see what else is out there. Evening programs, weekend programs. And just continue to grow. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the world now, adapting to the needs that are out there. You know, senior center doesn't mean that you have to be 65 and up. It can mean that, you know, 50 and up, 60 and up. And just to, you know, kind of get that stigma out of the way and, you know, use the center for the good of the community.
Yes.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
And then especially positioned as close as it is to both the elementary, middle school, high school complex. I know that there's at least a middle school group that had been coming here fairly regularly.
Intergenerational program. We talked to the library about, you know, starting something up again as well. And, you know, obviously with COVID that did put a kibosh on it. But,
changes,
you know, hopefully things are looking up for the future, you know, without getting political by any means, you know, whatever you believe.
As if there's anything else that Franklin Matters and or Franklin TV Radio can do to assist in regards to the communication piece, we'll certainly be in touch. Thank you for taking time today to share a little bit of your story and what's coming and what's going, and we love it.
Absolutely. Come anytime.
Yes, this has been great.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for the listeners, we do this because Franklin Matters.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.